Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental.
The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life.
All told by real people.
And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, Bills Mafia. We know there's only one topic every day. All Bills, all the time. And now Matt Bove and Sal Capaccio are going really deep, talking Bills all year long, because it's always game day in Buffalo.
How about that? Incredible. I mean, what a wild, wild afternoon in Foxborough. What a swing of emotions. The Bills down 21-0, down 24-7 at halftime. Come storming back. They outscore the Patriots 28-7 in the second half. They win 35-31. Incredible game. Welcome in. It's always game day in Buffalo. Sal Capaccio with you. Matt Bove is on his way back from New England tonight and tomorrow throughout the night. So going to give him the podcast off for the post game this week. I'm already back. Flew back on the team charter after the game. And got back a little bit right around when Sunday Night Football kicked off. So had to digest a bunch of stuff. Wanted to get live with you today and tonight. And it's always game day in Buffalo. And of course, a lot of you are not going to be watching this live and maybe listening wherever you pod. We appreciate that. I appreciate that. Thank you so much. It's always game day in Buffalo. You can always subscribe to the show. Watch us live on YouTube at Sal Sports. We are live on X right now at Sal Sports. You can comment along. And thank you for doing that. Okay. I see all of you in the chat box. Would love if you could just kind of keep it rolling in there tonight. Be respectful to each other. And I'll get to some questions a little bit later. But I want to run through kind of my perspective of this game and what I saw and what went down. And I will tell you right off the bat, I tweeted something after the game that I think some people kind of took a little bit that wasn't meant the way I tweeted it. So that's on me, maybe. And what I tweeted was basically, I said, I can't imagine what X was like what social media was like, people, you know, what they were tweeting during the game, especially during the first half. And what I said was, I'm glad I'm not on this app, especially in the first half and even throughout the game. And I said, tweet me a GIF of, I always say that GIF, I always get it confused. What your emotions were, what it was like for you or what it was like on the app. And a lot of you, gave me some great ones. And that was really cool. But some of you thought I was basically saying, ha, 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 you know, defending like the way the Bills played in the first half. No way. Like they were terrible in the first half. Terrible. It was epically bad in the first half, the way the Bills played. But this is also why you play sports, why you play the game. And it is a long game. And this is why I don't actually go on. It's funny, during the game, I can't. I'm working. I'm on the sidelines. I can't go on X during the game. So I can't like do that and see what you guys are tweeting or anything like that. But I learned a long time ago, and this actually happens with me with Syracuse basketball, because here we go. We're there. Syracuse basketball. Right? I'm a big Syracuse basketball fan. That's a football helmet. And years ago, I'd be watching Syracuse basketball game and I'd be tweeting about the game during the game. And I'd read other people's tweets and I'd get so caught up in everybody tweeting. I didn't really watch the game enough. And I said, I'm not going to do that anymore. So I made a vow that every Syracuse basketball game, I would stay off Twitter and I'd just watch the game. It's been years since they're not good anymore. It doesn't really hold water as much anymore, but that's what I mean by you just kind of let the game play out. And some of you love the ride of emotions while you're on X. Some of you love the ride of emotions in your text threads with your friends and all of that. I couldn't deal with it. I would be so wrapped up in all that and reading what everybody's saying, wanting to respond to people, that I wouldn't actually be paying attention as much to the game. But it is a game. It's 60 minutes long. What did I say last week? Do you remember what I said last week when the Bills played the Bengals? I'm going to say it again. That's why you keep playing. That's why you keep punching. That's why you play the next play. That's why you just keep going and keep doing what you do. You have to hope for a stop here or there. You have to hope for a big play on offense here or there. And eventually you hope you get enough of those stops, you get enough of those big plays, and then the game starts to turn. And that's what happened in this one with the Bills at the New England Patriots. And no, there's no excuse whatsoever for the Bills to be beaten up 21 to nothing and losing 21 to nothing the way they were in the first half. That was terrible the way they came out of this game. And yes, this has happened way too often. They have to fix that in somehow, some way, especially on the road. On the road, it feels like, and I know it happened against the Bengals at home, but on the road, they get down early. It doesn't seem like there's enough energy right there. It doesn't seem like there's enough, and you want to say the game plan isn't good enough, and that's fine too. I mean, instead of saying it's a bad game plan by the Bills, I think a lot of times it's a good game plan by the other team, and maybe they don't adjust quick enough, but then they do. They settle down, then later on they adjust. It's a little bit, you don't want it to be too late, and in this situation, thankfully, it wasn't too late for them. I also say this, this is not an excuse, but I do think you have to at least understand that the Patriots had last week off. That gave them 2 weeks to have a good game plan for the Bills and get ready and put some things in. Look at those wrinkles, the throwback pass and things like that. They put some stuff in that I think kept the Bills a little bit off balance. You have to respect that as well. They had 2 weeks to prepare what they wanted to do. But 21-0, inexcusable by the Bills. You can't let that happen. I can't let that happen in any game. I don't care what team has how much time off. And it almost cost the Bills. It didn't because, well, A, the Bills have Josh Allen, and B, the Bills have coaches that understand how to make adjustments and thankfully made enough good adjustments in this game, and the players had good enough execution. I'm still getting over being a little bit sick last week, so if I cough here and there, I apologize, but that's what happens when it's a one-man show here tonight, and it's always game day in Buffalo. I'm going to run through some of the things that I observed during the game, some of the things I wrote about at WGR550.com. You can check it out at WGR550.com, my arrow up, arrow down column. Also, though, while I'm talking with you on the live stream, as those of you who are watching, we're close to, we're over 1,600 live viewers already. You might see my eyes wind up, go a little bit over the camera. I have the Sabres game on. Yeah, I got football on. I got Sabres game on. We got the Sabres. All right, they're up 2-1 on the Seattle Kraken right now. If they win tonight, they will split the 6-game road trip after losing the first three. How about that? Lose 3 games on the road, and then they could win 3 games on the road before coming back home here on what, Thursday night, I believe it is. So that'd be nice. I'm watching right now. They just started the third period a little while ago, so I got that one going on. And I'm still dialed in a little bit to the, or a lot, I guess, to the NFL game going on, which is Dallas at Minnesota. Like a lot of you, shout out to all of you who are in your fantasy football playoffs. I am, and I have a very close game going on. And I have Brandon Aubrey, and my opponent has Justin Jefferson and Jaylen Warren. I'm up pretty good, but he can definitely close the gap pretty quickly here. I'm only up like 15 points. I need Aubrey to get another field goal or two, and he missed one a little while ago. So I'm watching all this going on. All right, got the Sabres, got the NFL game, and I got you. Thank you so much for coming aboard here on It's Always Game Day in Buffalo. All right, let's get into it a little bit. This game, how it turned, what happened, my goodness, the first half, right? It was a tale of two halves. I'm sure most of you have either read or at least heard about A Tale of Two Cities. Yes, this is a tale of two halves. And in this half, let's see, I'll tell you right now, the first half, okay, I'm going to give you some stats for the first half. You're going to be blown away by the first half stats in this game. The Patriots, let me go back to it again. This is not the same one. Hold on, give me 1 second. I was looking at the week 5 game because I went back and to kind of compare some of the stats, especially the drive starts in the game. So I'm going to go right now and take you to the Bills and Patriots first half. All right, here we go for today. First half stats between the Bills and the Patriots. Total net yards. Patriots, 285. Bills, 76. Patriots, 16 first downs to the Bills, 5. They had 177 rushing yards in the first half to the Bills, 53, 108 passing yards to the Bills, 23. I mean, at this point, you're like, this is ridiculous. I know it was 24-7. The Bills actually got off the mat a little bit, cut the lead to two scores, but it's 21-0. And you're already thinking, I can't believe the Patriots are going to celebrate hats and T-shirts at a division championship on the Bills' dime while they're at Foxborough. This really sucks. And it did. It sucked. You know, and even being on the sidelines, you just felt like, man, they felt like they got him into a situation where maybe they can get him off the field. Then the Patriots on third down would make a play. The play in the first series of the game, though, this is kind of, you know, a little bit of a microcosm of the first half. The very first series of the game. It's third down, and let me just get the play-by-play here. It's third down and 7 from the New England 45. Bills do a nice job. There's a big run on first down, but then they stop them. Third and 7. Keyshawn Booty down the right sideline. Drake May throws it out there in third and 7. He dives, makes an incredible catch, right? Patriots then kind of get up to the line pretty quickly. And on the replay, I hear Eric Wood and Chris Brown saying, oh, that ball hit the ground. It looked like it hit the ground. But the Bills, they didn't challenge it. The Patriots were getting up on the ball. They went pretty quickly. I think Sean McDermott should have challenged it. I gave him an arrow down for not challenging it. I would tell you, though, McDermott was asked about it afterwards. I don't think he saw a replay of it until then. And I don't know why that is. Like, why is there not a replay being shown to the coaches in the coaches' booth? Do they only have the TV replay? I don't think anybody really saw the full TV replay until after the play and the next play was snapped. That being said, I'm not sure it would have even been overturned, but the Bills didn't challenge. They should have challenged. They would have probably won the challenge. Not positive on that. You never know how these things go. But that set up, of course, the Patriots to continue the drive. And what did they do? Just a few plays later, Drake May runs it in for a touchdown. Okay, that happened. It's 7-0. Now you got to regroup. First play of the Bills offensive series. First play of the game for the Bills on offense. Absolutely awesome dialed up play by Joe Brady. This is something they clearly had planned going into the game and said, here's what we're going to do on the first play of the game. We're going to get Brandon Cooks open deep on this shot play. And he was clearly open deep. And the Bills, I believe on the play, I have to go back and watch, had 7 guys left in protection. They knew they wanted to get Josh Allen back, play action. It's going to take long to develop. Let's get Brandon Cooks across the formation. And Josh threw an absolute dime, absolute dime. What a great play. And this is right in front of me. He bobbles it, almost great, bobbles it again, and then he goes out of bounds, and yep, catch, right? All of a sudden, Bills are going up there pretty quick. Let's just make sure it's going to be a catch. Replay assist comes in. Replay assist says it wasn't a catch. Now, it wasn't a catch. That is true. It wasn't a catch. They made the correct call. Where the hell was replay assist on the one before that? Where was replay assist on Keyshawn Booty's catch? That should have been that as well. And I think that at that point, you're like, okay, everything's going the Patriots' way. Nothing's going the Bills' way. This is not going to be one of our days. This really sucks. I know I felt like that. Did you feel like that on the sidelines? On watching the game? I know I felt like that. But that wound up, obviously, where the Bills then, on that first drive, could not convert anything. They wind up punting. They go 3-and-out. Patriots then get the ball back. They actually do wind up punting the ball back to the Bills. Bills punt the ball back. Patriots then score a touchdown. And then, of course, comes the long run by New England. Travion Henderson, a 52-yard touchdown run. Folks, I know this is going to sound crazy when I say this. Patriots did have a nice rushing game even outside the two long runs. But outside the two long runs, I'll actually take what the Bills did against the run most of the day. I mean, the Patriots had 246 yards rushing. That's ridiculous, right? They had 120 or whatever on two different plays. I know the numbers are still there. I'll take that performance outside those two runs. The problem is those two runs and giving up those two runs, those two explosive runs. You can't do that. They did do that. And that's been a bit of the issue with the Bills run defense this year. It's not that teams all the time are just gashing and gashing play after play. It's they'll get 3 yards, they'll get 4 yards. The Bills will make a nice stop and then bam, out the back gate. Like you see Travion Henderson or somebody misses a tackle. Tackling was an issue in this game. The Bills could not get ball carriers on the ground. Whether that was Travion Henderson, Ramondre Stevenson, or some of their wide receivers that got the ball in their hands as well. The Bills could not get runners on the ground. And that was an issue. And tackling has been an issue for the Bills this year. And they needed to be better at it than they were in the first half, especially in this game. So now what happens is the Bills obviously have an opportunity. They go down the field and they do score a touchdown to cut the lead to 21-7. Then they give up that field goal at the end of the first half. And you're feeling like, okay, you got it to 21-7, but here we go, right? Patriots get the ball and they go right down. And actually, if you remember back in week 5, I believe the same thing kind of happened where the Patriots kicked a field goal maybe right at the end of the half. And that was a big, a big 3 points because they won by three. And this one, you're thinking, well, the Bills cut it to two, but here we go. The Patriots kicking a field goal. They're up 24-7. Nothing's going the Bills' way. I know all of you on Twitter, on X, on social media, everybody wants everybody fired, right? They're fired, fired, fired. Fire this person, that person. I get it. Everybody's upset. No doubt about it. I go on the radio with Nate Geary during the halftime and do a halftime report. And I'm telling you, they were terrible. They were terrible. They couldn't tackle. The offense wasn't in sync. What really the first, you know what the first half came down to for me, though, was the first half, more than anything, was simply Patriots players who need to make plays made their plays. Bills players who need to make their plays didn't make their plays. That's what the first half came down to for me. Bills had an opportunity in the first series for Brandon Cooks, who's supposed to be their, you know, the best deep threat, veteran wide receiver, hits him in the hands. He doesn't make the play. Keyshawn Booty made his play. Trevion Henderson made his play. So that's really a lot of what the first half came down to for me was your best players need to make plays when they're called upon. And that didn't happen in the first half for the Bills. You come out in the second half, though, things changed right away because you have Ray Davis taking the opening kickoff, going 58 yards down to the New England 44. Now, folks, before I go on, all right, I'm going to tell you one very overlooked part of this game, not just kickoff returns. I know you all know that Ray Davis was excellent in kickoff returns. I mean, that showed up. I gave him an arrow up and went through the stats. The Bills dominated in special teams in this game. They were the much, much better in team in special teams. And this is a Patriots special teams unit that's been getting a lot of love as of late, and for rightfully so. The Patriots have arguably the best return man in the game in Marcus Jones. You know what Marcus Jones' stats were in this game? He returned two punts for a total of 5 yards. That's it. You talk about the Bills doing a nice job field position wise, keeping him in check. Absolutely, they did that. On top of that, okay, Bills punter, Mitch Wishnowsky, he had 3 punts pinned. Right, 5 punts. Let me get to what he had here. He punted 4 times, excuse me. 3 of them puts inside the Patriots 20. In fact, on punts from Mitch Wishnowsky, on 3 of them, one, they did start at midfield. The Bills were backed up. But on the other 3, the Patriots started at their own 12, their own 6, and their own 17. Then you had Matt Prater making all of his extra points, the only kicks he had, in snowy conditions. Those were all big points, no doubt. And how about what Chris Tabor did on the kickoff? I know that Ray Davis is getting all the love here for the kickoff returns, and he deserves it. Chris Tabor, Bills special teams coach, nice new wrinkle. Instead of going with 2 return men, he went with 1, and he put Reggie Gilliam in front of Ray Davis as a lead blocker. And I think that was a cool wrinkle. I don't think the Patriots were necessarily ready for it. And I talked with Reggie Gilliam after the game about it, and he said it was really kind of like the old kickoff rule without the wedge. So I just think that was a really nice wrinkle. And it came down to, this was the Bills special teams basically dominating the New England Patriots special teams. And it mattered a lot. In fact, it mattered so much. Here's the field position battle. Okay. Bills field position battle against the Patriots. The average drive start for the game on all possessions for the Bills, their own 39-yard line. For the Patriots, their own 25-yard line. Okay, that's a huge difference, a 14-yard difference in field position when you're talking about 10 possessions for each team. The average drive start on Bills' kickoff returns, that was Ray Davis, all right? Their own 46-yard line. So great job there, Ray Davis. He really got things going in the second half for the Bills. He gets them out to, you know, past midfield at the New England 44, and then it's James Cook up the middle. Josh Allen, he runs. Josh Allen, in fact, did he run a couple times in a row? Right. Ty Johnson, Dawson Knox for a touchdown. There you go. So Dawson Knox gets back involved in, you know, 2 weeks in a row here. We're talking about Dawson Knox and the great job that he's done. He scores a touchdown. The Bills suddenly cut the lead to 10. Now you think, okay, this team has a little bit of life. What you need, though, you need a stop on defense. Is your defense really going to stop them? And they do. Patriots go 3 and out. Bills get the ball back. They go down the field. And of course, it's Josh Allen. It's James Cook. He runs it in, touchdown. Now it's a new ball game. And out from there, we know that the Bills have every opportunity to win this game. And they absolutely did. And for this team on the sidelines, I will tell you, the energy that was starting to build, the confidence that was starting to build, they knew they could run on the Patriots. They just needed to sustain some drives and not let the score get so far out of hand they had to become one-dimensional. But when they started throwing, they're having success there too. The one area they didn't have success throwing the ball, once again, folks, Bills wide receivers are nowhere to be found pretty much. I mean, the Bills have, we've said it all year, pretty much a boundary outside wide receiver separation problem. And here we go again with the exact same issue that we've been saying all season long. So Bills wide receivers today, outside of Khalil Shakir, okay, 5 targets, 1 catch for 16 yards. That was Joshua Palmer. That's it. Now, Khalil Shakir had a decent game himself. And I want to, you know, he does count as a wide receiver, of course, but he was the only one that caught any passes other than Josh Palmer catching one. Even with Shakir's numbers for wide receivers, these are not good numbers. 6 grabs for 81 yards. Not nearly enough. I didn't love the fact that the Bills made Keon Coleman the active player over Gabe Davis. I thought Gabe had been playing well. He'd been available for Josh in scramble drill. I thought Gabe should be the guy. What's up? If they were going to do that, they only went with 5 wide receivers, but the Bills, you know, wanted Keon Coleman out there. You know what happened? Didn't have a target. Keon Coleman didn't have a target in this game. Brandon Cooks had 3 targets, didn't catch a pass. I mean, again, wide receiver issues showing up. Now, that said, the Bills did throw well again to the tight ends and to the running backs. And that's been something they've been doing a little bit better lately. And they need to keep doing that because they're not getting anything from the tight ends. In fact, from their wide receivers. In fact, tight ends, Dawson Knox, 3 for 37 and a pair of touchdowns. Get to the second one in a minute. Dalton Kincaid, 3 for 34. And then how about even Jackson Hawes getting in the mix? A nice 9-yard catch. The Bills got him. Josh on the move, throws it to Jackson Hawes. As the Bills were coming back, they finally have a chance to take the lead. They go down, and there's a big third down play where Josh scores, holding on the Bills, force them back. So now you're faced with, I think it was 3rd and goal. Let me go down here. This would have been the start of the 4th quarter for the Bills. I believe it's 3rd and goal from the 14. Yep. 3rd and goal from the New England 14. And Josh just throws an absolute bullet to Dawson Knox in the back of the end zone. Dawson said it was a all verts route. So
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Excuse me. If you're listening and not watching, I had to drink my coffee for a minute. Yeah, I'm drinking coffee. It's 10:22 at night. That's how wired I am. Woo-hoo-hoo, here we go, baby. All right. So Dawson Knox says after the game that it was a bullet to his chest, the bullet to his chest, and he had to catch it, and he did. And the Bills in that play go up on the Patriots. I think it was the first time they went up, right? That was the 28-24. That's right. But what happens as soon as the Patriots come back out? It's Travion Henderson running right, Travion Henderson reversing field and going left. And on that play, that was AJ Epenesa to me. AJ Epenesa did not do a good job of containing. I talked with him a little bit about in the locker room afterwards. He said, yeah, he was kind of walking me through and, you know, he took accountability, but that's AJ Epenesa's contain right there. He didn't have it. comes out the back gate. I thought AJ kind of slow played it too much. Instead of attacking, he stayed back a little bit too much, got washed down the line of scrimmage. And by the time that, and then he decided to go kind of into the pile. And then here comes Trevion Henderson. Everybody else is a part of this too. But I thought that was a misread, I guess, on him, the way he played that. He's usually pretty technically sound, AJ, to be honest with you. All right. So now the Bills are down again, this time 31 to 28. They get the ball back with 9:49 left in regulation time. And then now we have the huge play down the field. There was a defensive pass interference. I think maybe that was one came before that. There was a play. I can't remember which series it was on. You guys probably remember. Khalil Shakir catches the ball simultaneously with the defensive back. They call a completion and a pass interference. It maybe probably was intercepted. The pass interference flag came in super late. And I know Patriots fans were complaining about it. Even our radio broadcast said, wow, that was a late call. I'm going to tell you this, though. This is the advantage I have on the sidelines. The official who threw the call, the field judge, it wasn't late. I mean, the flag came out. He was trying to get the flag out of his pocket. He was trying to get flag out of his pocket. And he wound up ultimately doing it. I know the feelings. I have a microphone. And when they throw it down to me, sometimes I can't get my mic out. So he was trying to do that. And then he threw it. And I thought at the time it was an interception. If they would have reviewed it, maybe. It didn't matter. It was a pass interference. But those are the things that started to go the Bills' way. And then the Patriots started to make some mistakes as well. And on top of that, I do think, you look back, the Patriots got a little tight. I actually thought the Bills came out tight in this game. You know, instead of saying bad game plan and all this kind of stuff, which is, you know, true. Like, you should have been better. I think the Bills played a little tight in this game. I was a little surprised by that. I think they knew they're, you know, 5-year AFC East run was on the line. They're going into New England and they don't want to make a mistake and give the Patriots a team that capitalized on your mistakes, kind of like they did in Pittsburgh a couple weeks ago. I thought they played tight early on in Pittsburgh, and all it takes is a couple plays to start playing loose again. I thought they played tight in this game, but you know what happened as the game went on? I think the Patriots played a lot tighter. All of a sudden, Drake May, he kind of didn't know where to go with the football. I think there was really good coverage going on for the Bills on the back end, but it seemed like Drake May was having trouble kind of understanding where he wanted to go with the football, what he wanted to do with it, holding on to it a little bit for too long. And that's why the Bills did a great, great job in the second half against Drake May. All right. I gave you the first half stats. Let's take a look at the second half stats. All right. Patriots, obviously Bills outscored the Patriots 28-7. They outgained them in the second half. Here's your yardage, folks. Bills 273 to the Patriots 100. Drake May in the second half, 5-for-12 for 42 yards. I don't think that's going to win any of the MVP. Josh Allen played like an MVP today. Drake May started the game like an MVP frontrunner, didn't finish the game like an MVP would finish the game. That's just the reality of it. And I like Drake May a lot as a player. I think he's really, really good. And the Bills have to deal with him for a long time. But I think today you saw Josh Allen playing like an MVP when the chips were down and they needed him most and the plays that he made. Although it was really the defense that stepped up for the Bills, though, to make sure Drake May couldn't do that and to give the ball back to Josh Allen. In fact, in the second half, the Bills sacked Drake May 3 times after not sacking him at all in the first half. How about Matt Milano in the game he put together? I mean, Matt Milano looked like all-pro Matt Milano again. Had a couple of huge plays on defense, got to Drake May for 2 different sacks. He had a team-high 10 tackles. He had 2 quarterback hurries, a forced fumble. You remember the forced fumble, by the way? That was the play on the sidelines. Mac Hollins had it, and he slipped a tackle, and Matt Milano came in and just absolutely drilled him, and it went out of bounds. So that was the forced fumble that Matt Milano got credit for. I thought Tre'Davious White, I give Tre'Davious White an arrow up in this game. I thought Tre'Davious White played a good game. In fact, I think him and Max Harrison did, but I gave one to White, not Harrison. I couldn't give one to everybody, but Trey had the interception. And yeah, I know it's an arm punt, right? But you still want to, you catch the ball on third down because you don't know what's going to happen on fourth down. Anything can happen. It could be a penalty against your team, a roughing. It could be a muff punt. You got a chance to catch that ball on third down, you do it. Tre'Davious White did it. It was a great athletic play. And the Bills, after he caught the ball at the 9-yard line, intercepted it. The Bills went 91 yards for a touchdown after that. I am watching the Sabres hopefully try to close this out, and they do get an empty netter with 44 seconds left in the game. All right. All right. Could be a nice night for Buffalo sports. Zach Benson with the empty netter in Seattle, 3-1 Sabres. Sabres lost 3 in a row to start the road trip. Looks like they could win 3 in a row to end the road trip, come back home. Nice. That was Zach Benson for the Sabres. All right, let's look at this. So I'm just watching the empty netter here as I'm talking to you guys. Oh, you know what? Oh, yeah, it should have been Jack Quinn's goal. He missed it, and then Benson got it back and he shot it in. So there you go. Nice win. And by the way, that's a Seattle team that the Sabres have a lot of trouble with. They haven't really played well against in their existence. All right. So, what do we got here? I'm trying to read some of your comments, and I know you guys, you go back and forth there, and there's some crazy ones in there. I totally get it. I'm doing my best here. Just to let you guys do what you need to do tonight. Thanks a lot for coming aboard. It's always game day in Buffalo. All right. We had somebody come in a little earlier and say, Sal, I want to go on that cruise you're going on. Is there still room? I have to tell you guys, the reason why I'm bringing this up right now, okay, folks, you're going to hear about this tomorrow. We've expanded the lineup. You're not going to believe this. On the cruise, we're going to the Caribbean. Come with me. I'm going to be like the cruise director. On the Celebrity Beyond, we're adding Fred Jackson and Doug Flutie. They are coming on board with us. It's going to be amazing. We're going to be celebrating Thurman Thomas's 60th birthday. Steve Tasker, Thurman Thomas, Del Rita 26 shirts. Pinto Ron's coming. We're having a great, great time. You got to go to BuffaloFootballLegends.com. That's BuffaloFootballLegends.com. All right. So thank you. Yes, it's going to be an amazing time. Anyway, I brought that up because somebody asked me how you get in touch with somebody. I'm going to put in the chat box, right, if I can do this still. See if I can do it. There you go. That's who you contact. I just put it in the chat box right now. Nick Ryberg, he's the event coordinator. So yeah, we're going to be doing that. And if you want to come aboard the cruise, come on by. It's going to be great. Buffalo Football Legends cruise. So the Bills now 10-4 on the season. What does that mean for the playoffs? They're pretty much, you know, locked up. Now, I don't believe they didn't clinch a spot today. They couldn't do that. They didn't clinch a spot today. But what they did today was continue to put heat a little bit on the New England Patriots. Now, what would have been really great today is if Denver would have lost to Green Bay. That did not happen. Denver is now in the driver's seat for the number one seed. It looks like, as of right now, the AFC might go through Denver and the Broncos. New England falls to the 2 seed. Jacksonville, the 3. They're looking pretty good right now. Pittsburgh, the 4. They're trying to hold off Baltimore. They have to win tomorrow night over Miami to do that. And then he got the Chargers at 5, the Bills at 6, and the Houston Texans at 7. Indianapolis lost today. They're now 2 games back of the Bills. The Bills are very close to to clinching a playoff spot. And it does look like they're going to be a wild card, even with today's win. Yes, you're putting heat on New England. What has to happen now, though, for the Bills to win the AFC East, they have to win the rest of their games and have New England lose to either Miami or the Jets. Now, if New England loses to Baltimore next week, the Bills could still drop a game themselves. But the bottom line is, New England has to lose a game against Miami or the Jets. That's what has to happen. Otherwise, the Bills are going to be a wild card going on the road. And folks, they can't go on the road and play and start games like this against playoff teams who can control the game a little bit better. They can't do that. They have to be better to start games than they were today. All right. Other things going on in the NFL, I'm sure you've already seen. Patrick Mahomes, torn ACL. Terrible, right? Terrible for him. I know that. You're Bills fans and I never want to celebrate injuries. It's just terrible for anybody. And I know, like, they were going to miss the playoffs anyway. But you know where this impacts him is, you know, rehabbing or, you know, not having an offseason. He's going to be rehabbing throughout the entire offseason. So Patrick Mahomes, torn ACL. And I believe, I don't know, maybe you guys can tell me. I think did Micah Parsons tear his ACL? I think it was pretty feared. I was on the airplane coming back. I saw it. And I think he basically, I think that they basically said that they fear he tore his ACL. I'm not really sure if that's completely confirmed. So if that's the case, just a terrible day to see all that happen. But hey, how about Phil? Yeah, he did. Thank you, Miguel. Thank you, Sam. Thank you. Yeah, thank you, Gator Bills. Just terrible to see all that, right? But you know what? The Bills got out of this one. Let me get you injuries for the Bills. The only one that really we got on the sidelines, Jordan Phillips was questionable to come back in with his ankle injury. And that was it. Josh did throw up, but he continued playing after the game. He said, yeah, he does that before games sometimes. And then there must have been a little bit left in there. So that's what wound up happening. So, yeah, they...
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
I don't know. Let's see. Somebody's asking. I'm just trying to read some. Yep, torn ACL. Yeah, thank you very much. Anyway, so no other injuries report from the Bills, as far as which is really good news, obviously. And now they go on the road to play the Cleveland Browns. I believe Myles Garrett is one sack away from the NFL record, by the way, and he goes against the Bills next week. You hope he doesn't get it against the Bills, but it very likely can happen. He's amazing. Deion Dawkins has said he's called Myles Garrett before, like, the hardest guy he's ever had to block. He's the toughest block for him in the NFL. So if the Bills can avoid Myles Garrett getting a sack next week, that would be great. But if not, I believe Myles Garrett is probably going to, you know, he has a chance to get the NFL record next week. 1.5 away. Thank you, Jason. 1.5 away. Thank you. He has a chance, though. 1.5 away. Hell, maybe he gets one and the Bills hold him off for the half a sack. I was thinking, what about, do you remember when Strahan got it and Brett Favre turned into him and he dove down and totally gave up and he gave it to him? That's what caused Mark Gastineau to really be upset, you know, a few years ago or recently or whatever. Who knows? I'm not saying Josh is going to do that, but it just reminds me and it comes to mind. Okay. Somebody, any word on Ed Oliver? Ed Oliver hopefully will be back for the playoffs. Sean McDermott has basically indicated that, but that's not anything official on that, of course. And then what about Benford? Well, he didn't play this week, as we know. And by the way, shout out, like, all the people, you know, Christian Benford. Yeah, it was a big loss for the Bills. Bills did a great job in the second half. Their second half adjustments, second half coaching was incredible. Yes, they deserve all the scorn they get for the first half, folks. No doubt. You're not going to hear me say otherwise. But I think they deserve a lot of credit for the second half as well. The adjustments they made, the pressure they put on, what they were doing in the secondary. I don't know what they did different in the secondary without going back and watching and looking at the all 22 and stuff. But man, there was nowhere really for Drake May to throw in the second half. And that's Max Harrison. And that's Tre'Davious White. They did a great job. And Cole Bishop and Jordan Poyer, who had an interception that felt like he should have had, but didn't come up with. But that was a great job by them. And you know what's even, you know, really even better when you think about it from that term? Yeah, you want to get Christian Benford back as soon as possible. But Max Harrison getting that kind of experience in that kind of game and that kind of environment is a really big deal. And I love that for him. And I love that for the Bills going forward. So we're going to see, you know, where this takes the Bills from now on, but this is going to be, can we keep Bernard on the injury list until Milano Magic years up? No, he's not on the injury list. I mean, he's injured, but folks, why would you not want Terrell Bernard to be available to play? Now, I'm not saying that he should start, but the more options, the better. What if you're in a game and something happens to Shaq Thompson? What if you have a great matchup that you feel like you need for Terrell Bernard and his more, you know, athleticism to go cover? I think it's foolish to say just keep him injured and keep him on the injury list. But I understand if you want Shaq Thompson to keep starting. I totally get that. I have said it. This defense is better with Shaq Thompson in the middle. They weren't that good against the run today, though. I thought they were getting better against the run. It didn't really work out. But again, like I said, I would actually take the overall rushing performance outside of those two runs that the Bills got today. Because outside of those two runs, you take away and you can't because they count. It would have been a nice, it would have been nice numbers for the Patriots, but it wouldn't anything that I would, you know, going to a game and go, oh my God, you can't win by doing that. Because when you limit them passing the way you did, you could live with that. But those two runs really, really beat the Bills pretty badly. Okay. Thank you very much for coming aboard. Hey folks, look at this. We have over 5,200 live viewers right now. All right. Good job by the Sabres. They have a 3-1 win. So they're gonna be coming back from Seattle tonight. They'll be back in action on Thursday. Bills win, Sabres win. Good night for football. and hockey and Buffalo. Good Buffalo sports night. What's going on in the football game right now? Let me check. I'm going to go right here. You guys are probably watching it right now. 23-17. The Dallas Cowboys lead it. All right, Brandon Aubrey, I needed that. He got a field goal. I needed that from Brandon Aubrey. Maybe you guys are in your fantasy league. Good luck to you if that's the case. All right, thanks a lot to my producer, our producer, Mike Robbier. Thanks a lot to all of you for watching, for listening, for downloading, subscribing. Please subscribe at Sal Sports. And again, we're going to be making much more announcements about this this week. Oh, and another thing. Oh, yeah, if you're in the Buffalo area, especially, if you want to drive in, this is cool. Also, another cool thing coming up. This is really just, we just started doing this, finalizing it this weekend. This coming Thursday night, December 18th, all right, I'm going to be doing my Sal's House sports, my video podcast, Sal's House at Sports City Pizza Pub on Niagara Street, and I'm going to be giving a whole bunch of stuff away. We're going to be calling it Santa Sal's House, all right? So come on by. It's going to be a great time, and it'll be a watch party for the Sabres game and the and the football game, giving away mystery, like jersey, helmet, everything. It's going to be really awesome. So come on by. So I hope you do that. BuffaloFootballLegends.com for the cruise, at Sal Sports on YouTube for this podcast and the video side, wherever you pod. I appreciate it. And of course, tomorrow morning, I'm going to join Jeremy and Joe at 7 a.m., WBEN at 7:50, and then the Extra Point Show 10 to 12, your chance to call. You guys are all typing in here. You can call me tomorrow on WGR Sports Radio 550, 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. Let's go. Thanks a lot, everybody. Sam, Teddy, Gator, Robert, Greg, Miguel, everybody who's in there. Andy, Dr. Neil, Backbone. I'm trying to scroll through all the people here. Walter, Duggar, Jeremy, everybody. Yeah, thanks, Aaron. All right, you guys got it. Have a great night, everybody. All right, I'll talk to you tomorrow.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. Just something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes Of, a Crime House original.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes Of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.